Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
We interrupt your regularly scheduled whatever you're doing to bring you a special 30-minute edition of Footy Prime, the podcast / Footy Garage. With Jose Mourinho being fired and the new Super League on the horizon, what will the boys think? Let's find out this week on Footy Prime / Garage Podcast. Let's get this party started.
Well, you know things are going really shitty when we have a special podcast on a Monday / Tuesday for you. But yes, it's Footy Prime. Thank you for joining us. I am James Sharman. In the little box to my right is Dan Wong. In the little box to his right is Craig Forrest. In the little box to his right is Danny Dicchio. Oh, dude, she looked like some kind of convicted killer hiding out in a halfway facility. Beside him is Brendan Dunlop and JC, the voice bender beside Brendan Dunlop. Hello, fellas. Good Tuesday.
Is it?
No, it's not. It's really bad.
Danny is reflective of all of us right now in a dungeon of depression.
No, listen, obviously we're here for a couple of big stories breaking this Sunday and Monday, which was yesterday. The Super League, of course, really being the main story across world sports. Listen, this thing's constantly evolving right now, but get ready, I think, for months and months of courtroom battles, because this thing isn't going away. This is more than just a threat. In the past, we've heard the threat and the rumor of a Super League, a breakaway league, of course. But it's never come to the point of having documents of intent being signed and, of course, a formal announcement with those clubs releasing statements. Of course, doing no media around those statements because they're all cowards. But, the word cynical have been mentioned, greedy, poisonous, even evil. The UEFA president, Alexander Seferin, said it's like spitting in the eye of football fans. Craig, what were your initial thoughts when you first heard this break?
Unbelievable. We've heard about it coming for a long time. And I guess when you think about it, it was inevitable that they were going to have a go. They were going to try to do this. The timing of it during a pandemic, taking an advantage, basically, handpicking the whole sense of this new league and relegation. And the spread of the money, too, is not equal. It is sinister. And it would really affect world football in a negative way. Only a few, very few, would actually benefit from it. And they would benefit hugely. But this is billionaires flexing their muscles at a time when I hope that football fans can stand up, because this is the only way we can do this is if everybody's united, and that includes the clubs that are chosen in this Super League, that they get together and they put a stop to it. That's the only way. And I just hope that they're not so rich that they can't fail. But we'll see, because there's going to be a lot of legal wrangling as well around this. And just terribly disappointed. But also, on the other hand, after seeing what's happened, the players, the management, the clubs, and virtually the united stand so far against it is pretty incredible to see during a bad time when the world is split and divided in so many ways. But when it came to this, so far it's been pretty much 99% in favor. There's been a couple nutcases that are ignorant and they really don't understand football and the whole system around it. And then on the other hand, let's face it, we're not trying to say that FIFA and UEFA are clean by any stretch. I mean, the World Cup's in Qatar. There's only one reason for that. That wasn't about the game and growth of the game. So let's be honest there. But at the same time, I think we have to protect the system, and this is and not the right way to go about it. And it's disappointing, and I hope that it creates a storm that it has.
Yeah, it's a good point. We understand that UEFA and FIFA are hardly Snow White themselves. They're also extremely greedy. We know that. People were saying that the formation of the Premier League back in 92, again, what was pure greed. But this is different, isn't it? This seems to be attacking the real culture of professional football across the world, not just in the Premier League.
Well, to be quite honest, fellas, the Premier League's been pretty boring as of late. The last two or three years, it's lost its little bit of pizzazz, in my opinion. So maybe getting rid of these big six or whatever they call themselves might do us a little bit of favour, you know? for me, it's like, I don't know, like, if they want to do it, go let them do it. Go let them do it and let them fall flat on their fucking ass and then slowly come back. Because for me, the players and managers have been media trained to the point where they have no personalities whatsoever at the moment. They're too afraid to speak their mind or have a bit of fun at the risk of a backlash or offending someone. I want rivalries, fellas. I want people butting heads. Hatred, passion and controversy like I need oxygen. Because it's just been far too shite at the moment with this Premier League and this falseness. I want to get back to some passion.
Do you think they'll come back though? Do you think the Premier League, say this thing goes ahead and they lose their battles in court, do you think the Premier League, if they were able to, would expel these clubs from the Premier League? Would that be the smart thing to do?
Yes. Let them go. Go get their 3.5 billion. Let them go play week in, week out. It'll be very, very boring. They'll lose a whole bunch of fans and they'll slowly try and come back to the Premier League, which used to be the best league in the world and the most exciting league in the world. As I said, it's lost its pizzazz in the last two or three years, in my opinion.
Okay, B, so the Premier League teams, you know, involved, they get kicked out. Do you really think there's going to be an audience and a strong crowd to watch this Super League amidst this furor around world football? My concern is, my cynicism is this. You know, it's all very well saying, yeah, how dare they, it's going to be a disaster. But these are sporting consumers, and they don't care about the legacy fans. They care about the fans they can grow, they can get moving forward. I still think that, and it pains me to say it, but if this Super League goes ahead, you're going to see fans in the stands when Real Madrid take on, you know, Barcelona in El Clasico four times a year, or Man United play Liverpool four times a year.
Yeah, you're going to see it, but that's also because they're paid and expected by the governments in Saudi Arabia and Qatar to fill those stadiums and turn up. I think that's where a lot of these, you know, matches will be played. And if they were to do a breakaway league fully and be separated from their domestic leagues or booted out of their domestic leagues, really what you're going to see happen, I think, and this is what's comforting for football fans. And I understand Danny's frustration and, you know, players and managers being media washed and not really showing their personality and their true thoughts, but you are seeing it. You're seeing it maybe not as direct as we would like, but you're seeing that they're not on board with this. And I really think that, I'm not going to say that someone on $300,000 a week would be willing to leave that gig and hoping that, you know, Everton or Fulham or one of the remaining 14 in the Prem would be able to pick up that salary. But I think you're going to see a lot of players not want to participate in this. That's where the power will come from, in the clubs not being able to succeed and do this, because you're not going to have a unanimous front within your own squad, and you're seeing that already. The division that this has caused, I feel like the best description is, this idea is just an avalanche of destruction. You've got ex players hating and beefing with current managers. You've got certainly rifts within the dressing rooms, I'm sure, about all of this. Keep the rivalries alive, like goalkeepers versus strikers. You know, as we had last week, the great between those two. That's the rivalry that I want to see. I think there's so much division right now, within this, and but it does really side on the side of less people, I think, being eager for this. The only people that are game are those in the ivory tower that put this together.
Well, Seferin said today that if you guys goes ahead, the footballers will not be allowed to play in World Cups or European Championships or other Champions Leagues, any of their tournaments, they can't play in it. Craig, let me ask you this, as a former footballer, these guys get paid, you know, obscene amounts of money anyway, right? Now, they can make a lot more in a Super League potentially. However, if that is true, I don't know if it's even legal that they could say you can't play for England, you can't play for Italy or Spain or whoever it's going to be. But do you think that threat of yanking them from those tournaments would be enough to provide some solidarity within the players and the player base say, no, we're not doing it?
Well, that's a difficult one for the players. Now, you're putting them in a really tough position.
Very unfair.
Liverpool play Leeds. If Klopp had not actually found out what he said, he just found out at the same time as we did. That's insane that these owners are putting these players and managers in a position that they shouldn't right at the end of the season to do this. Now, you're right. I'm not sure legally. I've heard some things legally that they might not be able to stop it, but the threat of it alone might be enough, at least temporarily, not to allow to stop that from happening. I do wonder about PSG. The World Cup's in Qatar. They don't want to piss FIFA off at this stage, my bet is, by bringing PSG into it.
Yeah, that's a really good point, actually. And even if they did, and the players were taken out of their international teams, that won't reflect well in the World Cup. And they want to fill those stands. Although, like B said, they can quite easily fill those stands, optically at least.
Sure. Well, and you know, another big thing with what we've seen, and I've said it a lot, is that they should be vetting. And I was happy when Newcastle didn't get the Saudi Arabian owners, because I think they need to put a stop to this and vet them better. There has to be a morality clause somewhere, because you look what's happened. People warned the Man United fans. Man United fans were saying no to the Glazers. There was, no, right? And now look at the big plan. And you got these Americans, you got Kroenke, who do you think he gives a flying shit? He moves St. Louis to L.A. You know, like, they're not happy with him. He does not care. He's basically Snuffleupagus. Nobody ever sees him. It's an absolute
just for the money.
Race. Like, it really is all around. And it's just basically bullying everybody and trying to put football into one league.
Guys, at the end of the day, if you're a kid, a street kid from Brazil, or you're a boy that's been brought up by a single mother from the little fucking hood in London, at the end of the day, you're going to want to get paid. Whether you're playing in the Super League, the Premier League, NHL, NBA, your career is short. You're a piece of meat. Craig knows this as a football player. So it doesn't matter where you're playing, okay? Whatever your owner or your boss is telling you to do, even Tuchel from Chelsea came out and said it today. He said, I have got no opinion on this. I just know that my employees, my owners will make the best decision for Chelsea Football Club. They can't say anything. Klopp today, he wanted to lose his shit with the T-shirts that were put in the changing room before the game. He couldn't do it. These guys are handcuffed. At the end of the day, they have to get paid. These guys have to get paid. And unfortunately, the guys leading the clubs are the guys that are at fault here. We can't blame the players. We can't blame the head coaches as well, Craig.
No, you're absolutely right, Deej. And I don't think we will, and I don't think people will put pressure on them. Well, they shouldn't. There'll be a percentage that will, but I don't think they should. And leave them out of it, because, again, it really has nothing to do with them. It's really their supporters that need to support the players as it is. And then they have to take their signs out of Anfield and all these other places and support the Premier League and the structure of football as it is, where you have a dream of, like, West Ham potentially playing in the Champions League. Klopp said it himself. Like, what? Spurs? Super League? Arsenal? Why did they fire Jose? What the hell? It doesn't matter. There's no relegation.
Well, maybe there was a conversation had about the Super League, and maybe, you know, Daniel Levy couldn't trust Jose Mourinho being around at this period to, you know, not speak his mind and not be honest. And I wouldn't be surprised. As if there was, you know, some motivation from the other clubs involved that said, look, I wouldn't be surprised if there was some motivation from other clubs involved that said, you know, look, Daniel Levy, if you want to part with Jose Mourinho, do it now, because we can't trust him. He's a loose cannon. We can't have him talking about this league that we're going to profit from and swim in bags of money forever.
I think they're fighting because of their shit this year, quite frankly. And now the £50 million payout, who cares? Because they're making $350 million kickoff next time around. And that's what's one of the crazy points about this whole thing. You know, they extend this carrot to the rest of the league saying, we'll give you five spots every season for a winner, a league winner. So let's say, for example, Leicester. Oh, wow, we won the Premier League, whatever it's worth. We're going to the Super League for 1 year, and we're playing teams that have a payroll even bigger than they are now. They will dwarf them. You'll be at a huge, huge disadvantage to start with. Basically, you're going to be cannon fodder. And if you do win, let's say Leicester finally somehow find a way to win this Super League on their first year in there, they win about $50 million. They can make three times that playing in the Champions League right now, because all the money is going to the teams when they first set foot on the field. It's like a welcome payment each year, not a payment for meritocracy, for winning anything. It's just so disingenuous to me.
You're right. It would be like if Leicester did win it, they would actually, I read that the way it's set up, that it would actually make less money than Barcelona just for appearing in it.
Yeah.
Like it's really top-sided.
These guys must think everyone's idiots, eh? Oh, they'll buy into this, you know? Sure, it makes... Although that enormous amount of money being thrown around, you know, billions, hundreds of billions of dollars being thrown around, oh, that'll acquiesce the proletariat. No, it won't. People are seeing through this. I think the naivety is that these owners don't realize they're taking on 100 years of cemented football culture, and people aren't going to just roll over, I don't think. And I understand, Deech, what you're saying as far as, you know, get paid, but they're getting paid now. It's not as if players are underpaid at the moment, right? So do you think there's any chance at all of a statement being released with the player union coming out and saying, listen, we're not about this. I signed for Man City to play in the Champions League with all that history and the Premier League. I didn't sign for Man City to play in this upstart franchise model Super League. Any chance they'll get together and do that? Because that might be the only way it won't happen, if legally they've covered all their bases.
I think so. I think you'll see some maybe older players that are coming towards the end of their career maybe push that along with the Players Football Union. I really don't see any players at the peak of their career or younger players, but just because I feel they might be scared, or the club have definitely had conversations with their players already, Shams. This isn't like a shock reaction for these players playing for these clubs. They've probably known about this for a long time now.
You think so? Club City found out yesterday.
Yeah, of course he's going to say that to the press. Come on. You think Klopp's a wiser man than that, Shams?
Well, I mean, I think if from what he said today, he comes in and goes, I found out yesterday. I don't know what to say. I don't like it. He's kind of going against his owners still, right? He's not, you know, cutting up to his owners. He's being quite critical.
Didn't Alex Ferguson also say that he knew nothing about it?
Yeah, he did. Fergie was quite adamant against it. I saw actually a great quote. I wish I had it now. A great quote from Fergie saying, this is the end of football as we know it. It's terrible. It's going to hurt the pyramid, blah, 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 blah. And it was from 1992 when he was talking about the Premier League.
So, guys, I'm talking about what we're worried about now with the Super League. But didn't this happen in 1992 with Sky taking over everything as well, Craig? So, like, I tweeted something with Gary Neville yesterday. I thought it was a really good conversation that he had, or it was a good message which he was trying to relay. But at the end of the day, Sky and those kind of media companies in England and Italy and Germany, well, not even Germany, because Germany are not in it, they're more worried than the actual football clubs and the FA as well, because they're going to lose a huge amount of money if these top six from England and Italy and Spain, wherever, now join this Super League, and they have the rights to broadcast their own TV games now as well. So,
but that's where it's messy, right? Because say you signed a new deal to show Premier League games starting next year for 3 years, and suddenly you find out, oh, but maybe there will be no United and no Liverpool. Like, wait a minute, I didn't sign this deal. I didn't negotiate this rate to not have those teams feature in my Saturday morning kickoffs, so in this case, Canada.
You take the $150 million back from those teams. You spread it out to the rest of the group. And as I said, let them go their merry way. Get their $3.5 billion, whatever they're getting for being the new formation clubs in this league. And you build the Premier League back up again. You build Serie A back up again. And you're going to have fans support those clubs a lot more.
But can you, though? Build it up again, though, without those teams? Those six teams in England, those three big ones in Italy and Spain. I mean, they've been those leagues for forever.
Yeah, I do.
Not the way in which we've seen it. Go ahead, Deech.
I think the clubs will... There's enough community clubs and enough clubs in England where you can bring the real supporters back. And you'll see clubs lose support and slide back over to the community clubs where they're local. Manchester United is supported by probably 50% Mancunians and 50% all over the UK. You know, Liverpool the same, probably got 25-30% of people coming outside of Merseyside to support them. So,
but part of the, sorry, Craig, go ahead.
they'll be hoping that the supporters around the world, which are plenty, will be able to support this. You imagine from a pay-per-view standpoint.
They will too, right? Yeah, they will. That's the thing.
I can't see.
The global fans will support it more than perhaps the domestic fans.
I just cannot see these leagues uniting to kick these teams out of their domestic leagues and trusting that they'll be fine without them. I just can't see that happening. I certainly don't see Spain and Italy having the stones to unite with the Premier League and the PFA and say, you know what? Yeah, we're going to oust Real Madrid, Barcelona, and Atletico. I just can't see that happening.
Well, I mean, isn't part of the appeal of these leagues is that you're seeing the best of the best. That's why the Premier League is the biggest league in the world. That's why Serie A was for so many years the best league in the world. They had the best players in the world. Do you think they can sell a league knowing that just across the pond, every now and again in our home soil, there's 15, 20 teams with the best players in the world playing every week? I mean, how do you compete against that? People still want to see the best players, right? It's like, would you rather watch AHL or NHL?
Well, this is it, and they want to create that. I think the money's being backed up by JP Morgan, American financing, like tons and tons of money. It's a big risk for them. It's amazing how the Americans, you know, with all these American owners. I mean, I believe Milan is also owned by Americans. Inter is Chinese owned. We got Russian ownership. But American influence absolutely everywhere. They can't wrap their head around this relegation promotion thing. Head around it. They want to protect it just like they do. You know, and when you think about it from a North American standpoint, the NHL and hockey, they want to grow. It's very difficult to do that, as we know, just, you know, for the expense of it. But if they were smart, they would have a bunch of divisions, and the AHL would be able to come up and get into the NHL, and the three worst teams get relegated, and so on and so on. That won't happen because the NHL, how the owners are going to protect it, and NBA is the same, NFL is the same. They treat clubs as franchises. They move them around whenever they please.
It does work though, because that's what we're used to here, right? But I don't think anyone can argue that the best system from a sporting standpoint is the pyramid, right? The open competition. I think
they don't care about that.
No, they don't care about it. No, they want cost certainty, right? That's why they want to guarantee themselves every year this money's coming in, no matter how bad they are. Which is why Spurs and Arsenal are laughing right now.
Yeah. And what's next? They get in, say they allow this deal, or they go through, then the next thing they're like, oh, you won't let us in the World Cup? Well, how about we just make a World Cup with all the players that we have in the Super League and we'll make our own World Cup and sell rights to that?
I can't see that happening. No matter what ends up, you know, coming out of this, I cannot see World Cups and Euros being affected. When push comes to shove, they'll figure something out because there's just too much money, right?
They already have the Super League. They make bucket loads. It's called the International Champions Cup, and it's this preseason tour that they've created solely to make money by putting legendary soccer teams in legendary American football stadiums so that they can walk out with a gate revenue of 8 to 10 million. But that's not good enough, and it's because the competition isn't high enough because it's preseason. That's how the clubs treat this. So it's not as much money as these owners think they could actually make. So the hell with FIFA, the hell with UEFA, let's break away and do it ourselves. But honestly, I'm not even thinking about the actual gameplay and the functionality of it because I just cannot see how we'd get there.
No, I know. I think B might be the most cynical out of all of us today, actually. Almost as cynical as he is, his internet feed is bad.
You don't know. It could be your internet feed. You don't know if it's your internet feed.
Well, everyone else is fine, though. It's just yours. He's breaking up for some reason.
My mic is too good. That's it.
Thinking that you could be Premier League champion. Your Villa could be Premier League champion this season if some of those threats come to fruition and they dock points and relegate teams. Think about that, B. Would it count? Would there be an asterisk beside it?
No, absolutely not. This would be everything. We can't catch West Ham. There's too many teams ahead of us.
Hey, listen, we should before we leave here, we should definitely touch more on Jose Mourinho being canned today. What is his legacy now? What is Jose Mourinho moving forward, Deitch? Is he still going to be a guy that will be at the top of most clubs' lists, or is this one tarnish too many?
I thought personally that the last club, Manchester United, was the one that tarnished him the most, and I was very surprised that he got the job at Spurs as soon as he did, but they were searching for trophies. And they thought that Jose would deliver. Now, for me, the timing of this is really, really crazy because they have the cup final next week against Man City. Maybe they feel bringing someone in is going to maybe enlighten the group and push them on to bringing their first trophy in, I don't know, donkey's years. But I just feel that this could be his last swan song in the Premier League. I still think he's capable of getting a job in Portugal, in Italy, Spain. But I really feel that he wants to maybe try his hand at international football now, Danny. I don't know if you feel that Portugal could be a good fit for him maybe after this next Euros. If they don't have a good tournament, maybe they call upon him and he tries his hand. I think national team would suit Jose. I really do. His style would, and just he's not with the players every day. I just see like a huge kind of conflict now with Jose and the players when he's leaving them out. There's rumors of Manchester United players hating him because of some of his behaviors against them, Pogba. And I just feel being an international manager, you only see them three or four times a year for a short period of time. I think he could handle that a lot better now.
Hey, Deitch, was he technically the first Super League manager to get fired?
Maybe.
Jose Mourinho.
I wonder if behind the scenes he was not happy about and was going to speak up, like you said, Danny, about this publicly and how that would affect the team. They got a big game, game coming up in what, 6 days. Yeah, who knows? We'll find out. Jose will not keep quiet, no matter what.
I'm going to bank that he's still the biggest mercenary out there and that he will be waiting for the opportunity to coach in a Super League if given the opportunity. So he won't say a word. That's my bet.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty safe bet. I also agree with Deitch that I think international football would be great for him. And he famously said international management is an old man's job. And he's an old man now. So, yeah, I'd welcome it. Although I do worry with the young players that Portugal has and the potential that Portugal has, if maybe he's past it. Maybe he isn't the right fit for the golden generation that they have.
Whose cat's dying, by the way? And you want to keep hearing a cat meow, like going crazy. Maybe it's mine.
Maybe it is yours.
Do you have a cat that you should check on?
I've got a cat.
I regularly feel insecure amongst you lot, but since I have this microphone that I cannot trust and this dodgy connection, thanks, Rogers. I haven't been able to make a phone call all day.
Let me ask one more question for all of you, though. Is there anything good? Can we grab anything good about any of this other than 15 teams making million? I know it's 12 right now, but they're going to bring three more in. 15 teams making bunches of money. Does it help anything about football?
Having a Monday podcast, seeing managers and ex-players go at each other publicly, that's the only good takeaway from this.
I think still seeing the game in these moments coming together, like the solidarity between fan bases and clubs. I mean, it's, we're so jaded, generally speaking, but it does show that we all are kind of part of the same big family when push comes to shove. That's nice to see, I suppose, but I'm not sure how long it will last.
A big thing that this has brought together is the country where I'm from, England. They've been fucking so divided for the past year or so with COVID, but this outrage of the Super League has brought everyone together and said a big fuck you and saying this is not happening.
It's even worse than Brexit.
It might be the most positive thing that's happened over the last couple of years, that everybody's united against this.
Agreed.
Yeah, a global pandemic, health scares across the world, racial injustice couldn't do it, but hey, don't mess with them.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good point. That's a really good point. On that, we should probably end it. All right, guys, we're back on Thursday as the Footy Prime, the podcast / Footy Garage continues. Oh, what times we live in. Cheers for listening.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.